Jesus is risen from the dead, and he is interceding for you, the
believer. That's a good point. He couldn't intercede for us. He couldn't pray for us unless he's risen from the dead. Because there would be no hope, there would be no nothing if our Savior died and languished in the grave.
What's the benefit of resurrection? That's what we're going to talk about on today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're continuing our series leading up to Easter, and today we're going to discuss 8 benefits of the resurrection. I'm going to come back at the end of the broadcast to tell you a little bit about some of the resources that we have available for you, so stay tuned for that. So now, let's jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are here to finish off our Easter series. Over the last 9 episodes now, we've been talking about Easter, preparing for it, thinking about it, meditating upon it. We explored some of the history for why it was that God was preparing his people to understand the Messiah would come and die for sin and rise again from the dead. And we looked at Genesis, we looked at Psalms, we looked at Isaiah, we looked at the resurrection day itself, we looked at the resurrection appearances of Jesus. Go to our website and you can listen to those. And we want to end with 8 benefits of the resurrection. The resurrection benefits us so amazingly because our Lord is just so gracious and he's so full of good gifts and he's so full of goodness and he wants what's best for you because he loves you. And the resurrection is all part of that. All right, so the first benefit of the resurrection is that the resurrection is evidence that Christianity is true.
Right. The resurrection is the ultimate proof that Jesus indeed is Lord. Jesus indeed is Messiah. He's the King. He indeed fulfills his promise of everlasting life when he says, "He who believes in me has everlasting life." We know that's true because not only did he die for us, but on the third day he rose from the dead.
So by contrast, if you know anything about Hinduism, for example, Krishna does not exist. He never existed. The Bhagavad Gita, it's just myth, okay? The ancient Greeks of the day, they believed in Zeus and Hera and Athena and Hercules. And even in Jesus' day, they started to stop believing in all those gods because it was made up. These were just fairy tales. By contrast, Christianity is based on a fact. Something happened 2,000 years ago. A Jewish teacher, a Jewish rabbi, who claimed to be the Messiah, was killed by the Romans, and he actually rose from the dead, and he turned the Roman Empire on its head.
Right, and his resurrection led to his disciples going out, and people would say, "These men have turned the world upside down."
The proof that the resurrection is evidence that Christianity is true comes to us in 1 Corinthians 15:17, and we did a whole episode on that.
Right.
The second benefit of the resurrection is that the resurrection overcomes death for Jesus, but also for believers. And let me just give you a verse about that. 1 Corinthians 15:54-55. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and Paul's talking about his body, his corruptible body, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Jesus overcame death. That's what the resurrection means.
1 Corinthians 15:54-55. That's great stuff.
I mean, how many movies and novels are based on this quest for immortality because
right.
It's so scary? But for Christians, we're not afraid of death. Death has been swallowed up by Christ. The resurrection proves that he's the victor over death.
Yeah, I like death is swallowed up in victory. That's beautiful.
Yeah. The third reason, the third benefit of the resurrection is that it helps you grieve differently. I tell you what, and here's a verse for it for you, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." I've been to the funerals of unbelievers, and I've been to the funerals of believers. Almost every single funeral of a believer I've been to, it's been a celebration. And why is that, Bob?
Well, because our view is that life goes on forever. When a person dies, there's a separation of the material, the body, and the immaterial, the soul and the spirit, but the person lives on. Our departed loved ones who are believers, Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we know they're with the Lord if they're a believer in Christ. That's what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians 4:13-18.
Right. So when a believer dies, they're with the Lord. They're better off than we are.
Well, let me throw this idea out. I've heard that one, and it might be true, but I have a slightly different spin. I think we grieve, but we don't grieve the same way they grieve. So when he says, how does that verse end?
I grieve as others who have no hope.
Yeah. We don't grieve the way they grieve.
Right.
We grieve because of what we've lost, not because of what they've
right.
lost.
We still we miss the person, and life might be harder without them. But we have a bigger picture in mind.
Right. We have great joy for where they are. We have great joy that we're going to be reunited with them someday soon. In fact, Paul says, look, if the rapture occurs in our lifetime and one of our loved ones has died, maybe our spouse or our parents, and they're a believer in Christ, well, we need to know the dead in Christ will rise first. They're not missing anything.
Right.
They're going to precede us by a nanosecond.
Right. Whereas an unbeliever, if they lose someone, if that an unbeliever dies, their family now has just suffered their loss, suffered the trauma that has kind of come with them leaving them. But also they suffer the trauma of not knowing where they went, what happened to them.
That's exactly right. Or they just think, oh, well, they're gone, which
right.
is a terrible thing.
The fourth benefit is that the resurrection guarantees eternal life. And this Jesus was speaking to Martha in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And this is what he said to her. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And so this idea that Jesus promises the believer everlasting life, shall never die, that's tied to the resurrection.
It absolutely is. What he's saying is everyone who has everlasting life is also someone who is going to be raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so the two are linked together, and there's no such thing as a believer who's going to be floating around in eternity without a body. We're
right.
all going to have glorified bodies. And the resurrection indeed is the guarantee of everlasting life for the believer.
I mean, if Jesus can raise himself from the dead, give himself life from death, that shows us that he can also give us life from death. He can give dead people everlasting life.
Right. And notice in the verses you cited, twice Jesus says, he who believes in me, or whoever lives and believes in me. The only condition is believing. It's not about us working our way to God. It's not about us proving ourselves worthy. We're not. It's about us believing in the worthy one.
Right.
It's about us believing in him. And he, because of the resurrection, we're guaranteed everlasting life if we're a believer.
And when he says whoever lives and believes in me, what he's emphasizing is you have a chance in this life to believe.
This is the only opportunity we have. There's no postmortem
right.
coming to faith.
A fifth benefit is that Jesus' physical resurrection guarantees our physical resurrection. So 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus.
And remember you talked about the atheists and the science fiction people who are always longing for immortality?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're promised.
Right.
And these new bodies aren't going to be ones where we need to do replacements with clones.
Right, right.
Or we need to have surgery all the time.
Right.
Or we're going to be in pain and suffering. There's going to be no pain, no suffering, no sorrow.
I am not criticizing the transhumanist people for longing for immortality. I think that's a desire God has put within us.
Just find it in the right source.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
In Jesus.
And even they're longing for a physical immortality. Again, that's I think God put it there.
Right.
But find it in Jesus.
Amen.
The sixth benefit is the resurrection guarantees that you'll have an imperishable, glorified body. So you're just kind of talking about this. We're not supposed to be spirits floating on clouds playing harps. God created a physical world. Adam and Eve were physical beings in a physical world. And that's what God wants for eternity. And we're going to have glorified bodies.
Right. And if you read 2 Corinthians, for example, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, Paul goes on about these bodies we have and all the suffering we have. And he says that we're groaning in these bodies
mm-hmm.
as we anticipate our glorified bodies, which will be given soon. And so every time we go through a surgery, or right now my wife's going through cancer and chemo, it's a reminder that what's ahead for us is so much better than what we have in this life.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to that very much.
Absolutely. As Paul says in Philippians 3:20 to 21, for our citizenship is in heaven. So our citizenship is in heaven, right? And you might think, okay, spirits on clouds. No. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So part of your salvation is that your body is going to be transformed and you're going to have a glorified body like Jesus. That's not something you hear preached very often in churches, but it's biblical.
But that's a key part of the good news.
Absolutely. The fifth benefit of the resurrection is that it means that Jesus is interceding for you. Let me read Romans 8.
How does that get to be the fifth when you're on point seven?
I'm on the seventh. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? Like, who can condemn a believer, right? Well, it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So Jesus is risen from the dead, and he is interceding for you, the
believer.
That's
a good point. He couldn't intercede for us. He couldn't pray for us unless he's risen from the dead.
Right.
Because there would be no hope, there would be no nothing if our Savior died and languished in the grave.
Right. So we have every one of us has an accuser. Satan is called the accuser. That's kind of his name. And then Jesus is our advocate. So I've heard it said that we all have a Jewish lawyer in heaven.
Amen. Jesus. He's the best.
And he's the best. Never lost a case.
Yeah.
Okay. And the eighth and final benefit is this. The resurrection motivates us to put away sin and live holy lives. Let me read Philippians 3:10 for you. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. There is a power to the resurrection that should flow through you in the here and now.
That's absolutely right. The power of the resurrection is available to every believer. And if you are in a solid Bible teaching church and you partake of the Word of God, then the Spirit of God will take what you've heard and what you've read in the Bible and will renew your mind and will transform you. Remember Romans 12? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This starts with our continual grasp of the resurrection and how important it is for us in our day-to-day living and for our eternal living.
Thank you, Bob and Sean, for that great discussion. What an eye-opener to consider the benefits of resurrection, even to us today. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on subjects like this one and others you've heard on our broadcast. If that's the case, I would encourage you to go to faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. Right there on the site, we've got all kinds of resources that can help you grow. I hope you'll take advantage of them. In fact, let me give you some examples. We've got this great full-color print magazine that we put out on a regular basis. Guess what? You can get a subscription to that absolutely free. You can get that at faithalone.org. We also have all kinds of teaching videos, podcasts, and blog posts. We're constantly updating content on the website, even daily. So you need to get involved at faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of ways to help you grow. You might even be interested in giving a tax-deductible gift to the ministry to help us continue the work that we're already doing. If that's the case, you can do that on the website too, faithalone.org. Maybe you've got questions or comments. We love hearing from listeners just like you. If that's the case, I'm going to give you our email because we'd like to hear from you. radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to finish up our Easter series, so you don't want to miss out on that. Well, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for listening, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.